Pluto has just moved into Aquarius as of like 8 p.m. Central last night. I'm wondering, did we feel any shift or did anything interesting happen last night as Pluto was shifting into Aquarius? Like, were you privy to any energetic shifts, or did you feel into the transit in any way? I will say it was kind of rough having Pluto at the 29th degree of Capricorn for like a couple weeks. That felt very shadowy, you know? It felt like there was a pressure point being poked. And I feel like now that Pluto has moved into Aquarius, there's a little bit of relief or maybe a new perspective or just like some kind of energetic levity that might be being offered to us. Katie, you said I slept most of yesterday. It felt like a full moon kind of day, weekend where I was just zonked. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. And Corey, you said the last degree felt heavy, physical and emotional. It was a dark couple days. Totally. Yeah. And Katie, you said it felt like 10 of swordsy. I agree. I feel, these last like 2 weeks have been very emotionally exhausting, or yes, I guess that's how I would put it. Like, it felt a little bit triggering. Yeah, emotionally trying. I made a joke yesterday where I was like, I haven't been this emotionally unstable in like 2 years. In the past 2 weeks, I've been more, emotionally unstable than I have in like years. Meaning, like, not really. Like, I'm not actually emotionally unstable, but I've like been crying a lot or like releasing a lot, or there just feels like there was something. The only way I can describe it is like a pressure point being like poked, and that pressure point like being also an area that needed like to be released. But yesterday it was so funny because it was my Capricorn friend's birthday like a week ago, and they were like kind of having like a birthday party, and I was like, oh, this is interesting timing of this birthday party because it starts like an hour after Pluto moves into Aquarius. And you know me, I'm classic highly sensitive person where like if I'm going to a party for like 4 or 5 hours before the party, I'm like, should I go? Should I back out? Should I ghost? Like I just don't want to go. Like you just don't know what to expect. But anyways, I challenged myself to go. I knew once I got there, it would be fine. And there were some friends that I hadn't seen in a while that I wanted to kind of like, catch up with. But before I got out of my car, like I parked. And I just like set the intention, and because I was feeling into the Pluto in Aquarius, like that literally had just moved into Aquarius like an hour ago. And I just set the intention that I was like, okay, like this is, it's meant to be that I'm walking into this party and you know, whatever happens will be like have some aspect of like fadedness, or there's like an aspect of like learning or growing or receiving. And that's just the intention that I set upon walking in. And honestly, like, that's kind of what happened. Like, the conversations, it was a really, I actually had a really fun time because I had some really good conversations with different people. And there's like nothing worse than a party where you feel like you can't really get to like any sort of deep conversation because it's like too loud or whatever. And there were also aspects of that. But at the same time, the people I talked to or ran into, we were able to like have some kind of like meaningful discord that directly related to some of the emotionally trying moments in the past couple weeks with Pluto at 29 degrees Capricorn. And I was just thinking too, like, in the sense of Aquarius, like Aquarius being about like the wisdom and the structure of the collective, it did feel very Aquarian that this sort of reassurance or this sense of like spiritual messages or signs or meaning was coming from the mouth of like the connections that I was talking to, or like it was coming from the act of connecting with community. So that was like actually kind of like a good Pluto and Aquarius kind of first couple hours. And I've also been tuning into, when it comes to Pluto transits, you know, depending on where you are in your astrological studies, you may not realize that we don't get many Pluto transits in our lifetime, in the sense that Pluto takes so long to go all the way around the 12 signs of the zodiac that we're dead by the time Pluto returns to the place it was when we were born, because that would take like, you know, over 100 years, right? And most, you know, if we're lucky, we'll make it to like an older age where we might experience our Pluto opposition, right? Which is around like 80s. In our 80s, we'll experience the Pluto opposition, which is when Pluto is the opposite, in the opposite sign, to where it was when we were born, right? So I think specifically the Pluto transits we have in a lifetime, maybe, you know, again, like depending on how long we are here on Earth, like maybe we'll make it through 6 signs that Pluto moves through, right? And that's why I think Pluto transits are particularly karmic and particularly fated, because it's a planet that is the slowest moving planet. So wherever Pluto is doing his work, I think we very much agreed that we were going to have this transit, right? On some level. So like for me, in my chart, I was born with Pluto in Sagittarius in my 6th house. So in this lifetime, you know, however long I live, let's say I live until like my 80s. Okay, so that means I'm going to live through Pluto through my 6th house. I just lived through Pluto through my 7th house. Now I'm going into Pluto through my 8th house. And maybe I'll also experience Pluto in the 9th house, 10th house, 11th house, and 12th house. So that would be like 6 zodiac signs of Pluto moving through the sign, right? And like, just even think about that. Like, why did I choose a lifetime where Pluto is going to move through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? And you might want to check out your chart, you know, around this time and like see like, okay, like between now and when Pluto is opposite from where it was when I was born, what houses is Pluto traveling through? And how are these houses specifically important to my mission, my lifetime, my purpose? Why did I agree to, you know, go through these longer, very uprooting, transformative transits, right? And Corey, you said, I've had 4 Pluto conjunctions in my natal chart since 2012. Now it's conjunct my Jupiter in Aquarius. Okay, yes, yeah. And it's funny because I tell people this, but I think when we agree to Pluto transits in this lifetime, like, most of the time we are highly sensitive, we are psychic, we are witches, we are like therapists, we're doing some sort of deeper work in this lifetime where we're becoming aware. That's the other thing, some people don't go through like big Pluto transits, if that makes sense, because it might not line up. Let's say, for instance, someone was born with Pluto in Sagittarius, okay? But they have a ton of Scorpio placements. So by the time Pluto makes it back to Scorpio, they won't really experience that, at least in the living human body, right? Because it's going to be too long. That's not to say that that person, like, agreed to be a bimbo in this lifetime and, like, you know, like, isn't gonna, like, do any work. But, like, there is something to be said of, like, what is Pluto going to run into in my chart? And how does that contribute to, like, what I'm, you know, learning, receiving in this iteration of my soul, right? Katie, yeah, nice. I love the Pluto coming into the first house. And Emmy, you said, that's so cool to think about. Ugh, why did my soul choose a Capricorn ascendant and Pluto in Capricorn in my 20s? right? And Katie, you said, I know we're in Aquarius now, but I'm waiting until September for the 11th house Capricorn pressure cooker cycle to complete. Yes, that is a good point, because we're not completely in the clear. We almost are, because Pluto, again, as of yesterday, January 20th, 2024, Pluto has ingressed into Aquarius. Now, for a short time in 2023, it was sort of like end of March 2023 until mid-June 2023. So it was about 3 months. We had a sneak peek of Pluto in Aquarius. You can think about what was happening in that time period, end of March 2023 through mid-June 2023, because those themes might be kind of arising again in some more completed or meaningful form. So, you know, there's something here about what was happening during that time. And fast forward to this year, Pluto, again, just moved into Aquarius, but will go back into Capricorn from September 1st, 2024 until, let me see, I just looked this up. It was, yes, September 1st through November 19th, 2024. That will be that, like, 2.5 months, that will be the final Pluto in Capricorn little jolt. So we'll have Pluto in Capricorn back at the 29th degree of Capricorn, more towards the end of the year. We'll worry about that, you know, later. But right now, let's just focus on Pluto in Aquarius and really what a Pluto transit means. And Amy, you said, I have no idea what y'all are talking about, so I'm going to book a session ASAP. Yeah, no worries. I'm kind of going into a bit of a more advanced outlook on Pluto, but really the spark notes is Pluto moves very slow. Pluto is the slowest moving planet. Thus, because it's the slowest moving planet, you know, there are only so many Pluto transits we can have in a lifetime, and that could be meaningful, right? Or that is meaningful, and it's important to think about. This is kind of like, should I do a specialized reading or something like that? Like, it's like my Pluto transits of my lifetime. That would be kind of fun. But to put it all kind of in English, what does Pluto moving into a new sign mean? Well, I had this like kind of cool moment. Yeah, Corey, Pluto pressure produces diamonds. I had this moment where I was at the acupuncture clinic. You guys know I work part-time at an acupuncture clinic. And I was talking to one of our like patients who comes in a lot. I really like them. And, you know, they were telling me about some face paralysis kind of problems that they had had in the past, I think due to something like shingles or something along those lines. Like, they had a really bad case of shingles and part of, like, half of their face has been paralyzed, and slowly but surely, like, there's been some, like, loosening or reinvigoration of that, like, side of their face, right? And in general, like, with acupuncture, there are a lot of, like, paralysis, I guess, symptoms that can be treated. Like, there is, what's that one condition? I'm gonna Google it, because we treat this a lot. Face paralysis. Disease? Bell's palsy. Yeah. So, like, we'll see, like, a lot of, like, Bell's... Thank you, Corey. Yeah. Bell's palsy. So, like, we'll see, like, a lot of people in the clinic who are suffering from that or whatever. Paralysis of whatever from some sort of, like, illness or accident or whatever. Okay. So, I'm talking to this patient. And I'm sitting next to her acupuncturist, right? And who's my coworker. And, you know, this patient told the acupuncturist, like, thank you so much because I just realized that I can whistle again. And we were like, wait, what? And she just started explaining, like, well, you know, a long time ago, about 20 years ago, a Pluto transit, about 20 years ago, I got a really bad case of shingles. It sort of paralyzed side of my face. And she was saying she used to be like a flute player. So like the whistling and like the blowing out of air from like her mouth was like something that she needed to do from like, you know, a perspective of like a musician. And she could no longer do it. And from, you know, just that treatment of getting like the needles or the acupressure points in her face. She was in the car and she just like started whistling along to a song. And then she was like, oh my God, I can whistle again. That's so weird. I haven't been able to do that like in a while. And, you know, she was like, I just want to share this with you, to her acupuncturist, because it was like really powerful. And I thought that was so, it was a really beautiful moment to witness. But also as the astrologer, this is why I love working in an acupuncture clinic. I can like really see the astrology working in real time, right? But From an astrologer's perspective, I said, oh my God, like that's kind of what a Pluto transit is. Like, it's almost like Pluto works so slowly that when the healing is happening, we almost don't notice it because it's on such like a microcellular level. And then it's sort of like one day we just realize like, oh my God, I am different now. Or like, oh my God, like this has healed, or like this, or at least not quite like this has fully healed, but this has sort of changed, right? Like after so long, there's been, after so many micro changes on a cellular, like muscular, neural pathway level, this has changed. And that's kind of what a Pluto transit feels like. And now that we're ending this long Pluto transit in Capricorn, we've been here since 2008. So, I don't know, someone do the math. Let's just say, whatever, 17, 16 years. You know, there's something emerging in the Capricorn house for us where we might be like, oh, wait, you know, this has changed. I'll be honest with you. Like, so this has been Pluto and Capricorn through my seventh house of relationships. And I've been reflecting on this because, you know, I'm little miss anxious, disorganized attachment. And like, I definitely have some pretty, I don't want to call it severe, but you know, I have some pretty profound, let's say, attachment trauma in my past, as many people do. And, you know, I'm thinking like, well, the result of Pluto leaving my seventh house of relationships isn't necessarily the feeling that like all of my attachment trauma has healed. You know, I wish I didn't have to be like, so, you know, I wish my mind wasn't so programmed to like, sort of be hypervigilant about, you know, abandonment or whatever. But what I will say is there's sort of this micro realization that there's this much more profound awareness that I have about my seventh house. And there's like a more profound awareness of the wounding or the trauma or the understanding. And that's also something that Pluto tells us, you know, when he leaves a sign or is preparing to leave a sign like he's doing right now, there's this message that he gives us where Pluto goes, you know, okay, now you're aware, you know. So, you know, really take that into account in the Capricorn house, in your chart. What have you become aware of? And maybe Pluto isn't leaving Capricorn and that house being like, dun-dun-dun, you're fully healed. We're revealing sort of this perfect version of you or this perfectly healed version of that house. It's not that, but it's more like the face paralysis kind of thing. Like, oh, I thought this was forever. I thought I was going to be stuck like this forever. But then after these micro, small, but profound moments of healing, there's something melting or there's something changing on a cellular level. And that's what we're maybe thinking about now that Pluto is out of Capricorn into Aquarius, at least until September. And now there's like a whole new story that's emerging in our Aquarius house. Okay, so like Pluto moves on. And now for the next 20 years or whatever, I don't know the amount of years that Pluto's going to be in Aquarius. Sorry, if anybody knows it, put it in the chat. But now there's a new story that we're kind of figuring out that is going to be changing on a microcellular level for the next 20 years or so in the Aquarius house, okay? So this is all to say, Pluto transits sometimes don't make sense until they're over. And sometimes we don't realize the progress we've made on such a small level until it all compiles into like this moment where it's almost like, again, like we whistle after we thought that side of our face was, you know, frozen in time. It's like, oh my God, like I can whistle and I didn't even know it. And that part of me has been healed and I just realized it, you know? So keep an eye out for these moments, I think, in the next couple weeks, especially pertaining to both the Capricorn and the Aquarius house in your chart. Okay. And maybe it would be helpful. I'm just going to read the, Katie, you said it's almost like this next 9 months are a retrograde. We get to look back on Pluto's effects on the previous house before we return to wrap up. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just read quickly, like I'm going to do like 20 seconds a sign, but I'll just go through the rising signs so you know, just to review where Pluto is coming from and moving to. So for Aries rising, Pluto in Capricorn was in the 10th house of career, public reputation. 10th house is a lot about like what you do in the world and what you put out into the world. And now Pluto is moving into your 11th house, which is Aquarius. And that is friends, networks, connections, groups, community. Okay. And then Taurus rising, Pluto was in the 9th house of belief systems, religion, travel, foreign culture, and now is moving into the 10th house of career, public persona, what we put into the world, purpose, externalization of energy. Gemini rising, Pluto was in the 8th house of shared resources, and taxes, loans, insurance, partnership, partners, money. And now is moving into the 9th house of travel, experience, spirituality. Okay. Cancer rising, Pluto was in the 7th house of relationships, partnerships, and now is moving into the 8th house of shared resources, forgiveness, karmic contracts, death, transformation. Okay, Leo rising, Pluto was in the 6th house of illness, health, wellness, doctors, the daily schedule, how we manage our time, and now is moving into 7th house, partnerships, marriage, life, long-term life connections, okay. Virgo rising, Pluto was in the 5th house, which is children, creativity, relationships to our pleasure, our sensuality, our uniqueness. And now Pluto is moving into health, wellness, daily schedule, work life. Okay. Libra rising, Pluto was in the fourth house of family, ancestors, roots, and now is moving into the fifth house, which is romantic relationships, relationship to ourself, our creativity, our pleasure. And also the fifth house can be children. Scorpio rising, Pluto was in the third house of communication, technology, writing, our narratives, the stories that we tell ourselves. The third house can also have to do with siblings. And now Pluto is moving into the fourth house, which is roots, family, home, ancestors. Sagittarius rising, Pluto was in the second house of money and also what you value, what you spend your livelihood on, you know? And Pluto is now moving into the third house, which is about our narratives that we hold about life, how we communicate to ourselves and others, writing, technology, communication, anything that has to do with giving our message to others. Cap rising, Pluto has been in your first house of the self, identity, our relationship to who we are and our path, and now is moving into the second house, which is our livelihood, what we value, our possessions, and our relationship to money. Aquarius rising, Pluto has been in the 12th house of the subconscious and our relationship to being alone, isolation. 12th house can also have to do with like spiritual pilgrimages, is that how you say that? Trips that have to do with kind of spiritual enlightenment. And now Pluto's moving into the first house, Aquarius rising. So it's you, yourself, your path, and your identity. Pisces rising, Pluto has been in the 11th house of friends, groups, and networks, and now is moving into the 12th house, which is isolation, but also retreat and aloneness, but also the spiritual growth that we need aloneness in order to do. Okay. And yeah, guys, that's it. That's like the spark notes of the houses in which our Pluto from Capricorn to Aquarius, where that part of our chart is being triggered. But I'm kind of excited for this Pluto story. And again, like I said in the beginning, like Pluto stories don't always make sense right away. Sometimes we only understand Pluto in retrospect. And this year, 2024, is specifically going to be pretty profound when it comes to maybe understanding from the outside looking in what was going on in our Capricorn house. Might even be even too early, you know, like I think we will, but there's still even more understanding coming to us in the next couple years too. But we're just now able to get the perspective of understanding, the tip of the iceberg of understanding of what was going on in our Capricorn house. And now we're just dipping our toe into what the story is with Pluto in our eighth house, but what Pluto in Aquarius is going to look like for the next 15, whatever, 20 years. Now, I do think one more thing I want to touch on for this week's astrological weather is we do have a Leo full moon on Thursday, and because Leo is across the street from Aquarius, it's almost like Pluto's recent ingress into Aquarius, it's like very involved in this full moon in Leo. So it's almost like this full moon in Leo kind of illuminates maybe the first line or the first page of the story when it comes to Pluto in Aquarius. So this full moon will take place on January 25th. It'll be around, let's say, noon central, January 25th. And the full moon in Leo is happening when the moon is at 5 degrees Leo. Okay, so Pluto's still at 0 degrees Aquarius. He's moving along really slowly. And, but yet, you know, the moon in Leo will oppose Pluto before the moon in Leo then moves into the full moon degree, right? So there's definitely something being illuminated. And I think we're in for another emotional week, but this week feels a lot more cathartic and filled with understanding. It's like the difference between crying or being upset because we don't understand versus now we do understand. I think this is a powerful week when it comes to tapping into that Plutonian energy. And let's do this. Let's pull a few cards. For this full moon in Leo. I kind of feel like just like a past, present, and future card. Like, yeah. Okay, so we have what was happening in the past. So let's say like in the past month or so while we've had Pluto in Capricorn, we get this mix of the Seven of Pentacles and the Magician. So there's such like a 1 foot on the gas, 1 foot on the brake kind of vibe. It's like we know what's next. Our souls know what the vision is, yet it hasn't felt like quite the right time to completely put things into place. Maybe the something about the Panini, the wisdom that we've gained since 2020 is like things happen slowly. And I think the Panini has forced us into this lesson with patience and perseverance and endurance and knowing that not everything has to happen all at once. So there's like this wise magician thing coming in from the past where like we have our vision, we have our manifestation. We know a lot more about calling in the energies we want to call in. Yet there's some sense of patience and trust even that we're bringing in from the past. So this is really telling me that like we're not meant to let go of this. Like this isn't coming up in the past position because we're supposed to like be done with it. It's coming up in the past position because it's wisdom that we've gained and we need to remember the wisdom that we've gained when it comes to timing and when it comes to like, you know what's coming through? The mindset or the narrative that we hold in the slow moments is maybe even more important than the quick externalizing moments. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but like, let's say you want to buy a house. It's almost like the narrative that, you know, the house exists, my safety exists, like the perfect place is waiting for me. I'm going to find it. I am finding it. We're walking towards each other. I have faith and hope that, you know, the timing of buying this house is perfect and I don't really need to worry about it. It's like those narratives are almost more important learning tools than the actual moment when your realtor calls you and says, you got the house. And you're like, oh my God, like, great. I manifested it. Like, yeah, that's great. But what did you learn in the process about trust, hope, faith, patience, and timing? Okay. This brings us into the present moment, which is the King of Pentacles. Yeah. We're wiser now. Yeah. Like there's actually, I don't think we should like sit around and like, like stroke our egos about like how smart we are, whatever. But I do think like there's a little bit of a message here about, you know, patting ourselves on the back for the psychological and emotional work that we have done while Pluto has been in in Capricorn. I think acknowledging our growth, acknowledging how far we've come, in whatever sense feels really right this week. I even found myself getting into that like perspective like a week ago where I kind of felt like, oh my God, like all of these, this emotional up and down and this emotional turmoil is kind of making me feel like I haven't really made progress. Like I tend to falsely associate difficult emotions with me being like, I don't know, like not evolved. And that's just wrong, right? Whereas the story I should have had is like, oh my God, I'm so glad that I'm experiencing these moments where these emotions are kind of, you know, all marinating. So this week, really give yourself credit, I think, for all that you are feeling, all that you're experiencing, even the discomfort that you might be sitting in. There's a real Plutonian vibe to that discomfort, okay? And then for the future, we have the Page of Swords. Ooh, this is so Pluto in Aquarius. Feels like it could do us, it could be good for us this week as we're sitting in some of the new narratives and the realizations and the understandings that Pluto and Capricorn has given us. Now that Pluto is moving into Aquarius, what this actually feels like, there's a real clarification of, there's a clarification of what we value, and there's a clarification of what ideas are like our top three right now. That's like a funny way of putting it, but when we're so creative and highly sensitive and neurodiverse, we can have so many ideas and so many manifestations brewing at once that we maybe forget like, okay, what are like the top three things that I want to refocus on? That's actually a really good word for this week. There's like a refocus after the emotional turmoil of being at 29 degrees Capricorn that Pluto has led us into the past couple weeks. There's a clarity of mind. There's a refocus. I also think because the moon opposes Pluto right before the full moon in Leo on Thursday, I think that's a moment of clarity. It's like a moment of clearing where the emotional clouds are kind of not fading, but it's like the clear sky comes after the storm. I know it's cheesy, but Yeah, there's just some kind of clearing, energetic clearing that's coming in for this full moon. Okay. So my friends, that's my energy forecast. I am gonna skip doing the individual polls this week, saving some energy for year ahead readings a little bit later. If you haven't booked your year ahead reading yet, still booking them, so please head on over to my website and feel free to check out all of my offerings. As always, if you need sliding scale, don't hesitate to reach out. And happy Pluto in Aquarius. I'm glad that we could, share this morning together and kind of tune into the energy. And uh-oh, Danny's getting a little mad at me. Do you see this face? Oh, jeez. Okay. All right, Daniel. All right. I don't think I'm holding him correctly, you know? Also, I like how when we were talking about the full moon in Leo, Danny pops up. So yeah, his mom is gone for the weekend, so he's like stuck with Auntie Mal. He just put me. But I am still, I'm much, I'm a dog gay. So, the cats, we're sometimes they can tell. They can tell I'm a little nervous about them. Okay. Lots of love to you guys. We'll talk soon. Okay. All right. Bye.